Now let's turn in our Bibles to Matthew chapter 4. My text this morning is going to be verse 17. Those of you who attend here know that we've been studying in this chapter several weeks. And this morning I want to concentrate on this one verse. From that time Jesus began to preach and to say, "Repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand." At this point in the life of the Lord Jesus Christ, we are told he began to preach. We have studied about his baptism, about his temptation in the wilderness, and about his removal to Capernaum. And now we read he began to preach. He was a preacher. The Lord Jesus Christ, he was a preacher. And I prepared my message today around that statement. He began to preach. 3 points. First, what does it mean to preach? In the King James translation, the English word preach is found 3 times in the Old Testament. And one of those texts is a prophecy concerning the Lord Jesus Christ, and another concerns Jonah. He was commanded to go unto Nineveh, and the text says, that great city, and preach unto it the preaching that I bid thee. And that text there in Jonah is a good example of what it means to preach. It means to proclaim. To proclaim. Jonah was sent there to proclaim this one message, yet 40 days, and Nineveh shall be destroyed. There's a lot of emphasis today on apologetics, and I know that has its place. But preaching is proclaiming. It's not explaining everything that men might want to have explained to tickle their intellectual ability or their intellectual interest. Preaching is proclaiming the message. This word, which is translated, this Greek word, which is here translated preach in our text, it is translated every time except once in the New Testament by either preach, preaching, preached, preacheth, preachest, preacher, and the one exception is found in the book of Revelation, and there it is translated proclaiming. The Lord Jesus Christ now began to preach. He began to proclaim. And the second part of my message is, what did the Lord Jesus Christ preach? Well, our text tells us, from that time Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. Now, I mentioned in the message last Sunday morning a harmony of the Gospels, a harmony of the Gospels. And if we were reading from one at that time, I mentioned the fact that we would see that what took place with him going to Galilee is covered in John chapter 4 when he went through Samaria. But I want us to look also this morning in Mark's gospel at the same statement, only it is a little bit larger. In Mark chapter 1, but both of these statements are speaking of the same thing. At that time, Jesus began to preach and to say, repent, for the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And here in chapter 1 of Mark, verses 14 and 15, we read, now after that John was put in prison, Jesus came into Galilee preaching the gospel of the kingdom of God, and saying, the time is fulfilled, and the kingdom of God is at hand. Repent ye and believe the gospel. What did the Lord Jesus Christ preach? He preached repentance and faith. That's what he preached. He preached the gospel. He preached repentance and faith. In Acts chapter 20 and verse 21, the Apostle Paul testifies as to what his ministry had been in the city of Ephesus. And he said this, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks. Now listen, this is Paul's message, and it's the same as the Lord Jesus Christ. Paul said, testifying both to the Jews and also to the Greeks, number one, repentance toward God. And number two, faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Preaching the gospel is preaching repentance toward God and faith in the Lord Jesus Christ. Now, repentance is often defined, and it's a very simple definition, as a change of mind. But it includes more than that. That is a good definition, no doubt, but it includes more than that. If you will, look in chapter 21 of Matthew, when our Lord speaks about repentance here in this parable, Matthew 21, verse 28, he said, but what think ye? A certain man had two sons, and he came to the first and said, son, go work today in my vineyard. He answered and said, I will not. Now that's his answer. No. No, I will not. But notice, afterward, he repented and went. There's a good explanation, or example, I should say, of repentance. First of all, he said, no, I will not go. But then he went. Why is repentance toward God? That's what Paul said he testified. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. Repentance is toward God because it was from God we turned away. It was from God we fell. In the Garden of Eden, our representative, yes. The scripture says in Isaiah, all we like sheep have gone astray. That is, all of mankind at one time, we all went astray. But he didn't stop there, did he? We have turned everyone to his own way. Every one of us, we turned away from God. First of all, yes, in our representative, but when we come into this world, we might say it like this. We will not, I will not have this man to rule over me. That's the statement we make. Maybe not verbally, but by our actions. Our allegiance. As Adam was created, his allegiance was to God and to God alone. When he sinned, he took that allegiance that had been to God and he really placed it on his wife Eve. He chose her over God. Now, men are to love their wives, even as Christ loved the church, but we are to love God supremely. Yes, Adam loved Eve. She was bone of his bone, flesh of his flesh. He knew she was the only other living individual on the face of the earth. And when she disobeyed God, what did he do? He chose to follow her. He chose her, that is Eve, over God. His allegiance now was not any longer to God. And that's the way all of us are when we come into this world. We have turned away from God. And repentance is a change of mind. A change of mind. We've turned away from God and we've sought our happiness. And everyone wants to be happy. We all have that in us, don't we? We want to be happy. But we've turned away from God and we think that our happiness is going to be found in something or someone other than God. Men are seeking for happiness in many different ways. Some seek for it in riches. But he that loveth silver shall not be satisfied with it. Men seek happiness in fame. Isn't it amazing to you as you read? How many people do we read about who become very famous, they're entertainers or something like that, and then all of a sudden you read that they've harmed themselves through drugs or something like that. They can't handle the fame. There's no satisfaction there. It promises a lot. But man has been so created by God Almighty. He's our maker. He's our creator. And man will never find happiness until he finds it in his maker, in God. We turned away from God. And repentance is turning to God, recognizing that our happiness will be found in him and seeking him above everything else. And then we read, not only repentance toward God, but faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way to God. I said repentance is We've turned away from God. Repentance is turning back to God. And the only way back to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. There is no other way. He said that, and the Scriptures proclaim that. If God has opened your eyes spiritually today, you recognize that beyond a shadow of a doubt. There's no way that you will ever be right with God except through the person and work of Jesus Christ. And you know that if the Lord's opened your eyes. That's what faith is, isn't it? Seeing the glory of God in the face of Jesus Christ. Men can't see that, the natural man. And you may be here today, you can't see that. And all of us at one time, we couldn't see that. We couldn't see God's glory in the person of Jesus Christ. Faith in toward God, toward Christ, rather. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. He's the only way by which you may return to God. I hear people talking about the Virgin Mary. You're not going to come to God through the Virgin Mary. People talking about the saints. You're not going to come to God through the saints, through religion. There's no way to God except through His Son, Jesus Christ. Faith toward the Lord Jesus Christ. For Christ, the Apostle Peter tells us, hath once suffered for sins. The just, He had no sin of His own. The perfect Son of God. The just for the unjust, that He might bring us to God. He's the only way that any sinner comes to God is through His Son, Jesus Christ. Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ. That was the message the apostles preached, wasn't it? Believe on the Lord Jesus Christ and thou shalt be saved. Now, William Mason, one of the old writers, he gave two tests by which men may determine, am I a believer in the Lord Jesus Christ? Do I really believe in the Lord Jesus Christ? This man gave, I think, two very excellent tests. First of all, a believer has the same view of himself as is set forth in the Word of God. A believer. I'm talking about someone who truly believes in the Lord Jesus Christ. Has the same view of himself as is set forth in the Scriptures. I am a sinner. I am a sinner. And know that in my flesh dwelleth no good thing. The Scripture says I have a heart that is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. I say amen. That's my experience. That's who I am. I have a heart that is desperately wicked and deceitful above all things. I come short in everything that I might attempt to do to glorify God. If it's praying, if it's preaching, if it's witnessing, if it's giving, no matter what it is, if it's singing, I come short of the glory of God in everything I might attempt to do. Why? Because I am sin. I am sin. Just like when God gave the law to the nation of Israel. God told them, now if you build an altar, you just take some stones and stack them up there. Just stack those stones up. Just like you find them there. Pull them out of the dirt and stack them up. And whatever you do, don't you put a chisel, don't you put a hammer on those stones. Why? Oh, we could shape them up. We could make them look so pretty. All of them fit into place. What a beautiful altar we could bring forth. No, no, no. Because when you lift your hand to do anything, you've polluted that work. Why? Because of what we are by nature. That's why. And a true believer recognizes this, confesses this, says, amen. Yes, that's true of me. That's true. That's exactly what I am, just as the Word of God declares that I am. I have nothing, nothing, nothing. I have nothing to commend me to God. If God gives me what I deserve, it has to be hell. It has to be eternal separation from God. Why? Because He's a holy God and I'm a sinful individual. I have nothing to commend me unto God and to His grace. And number two, not only do we say amen to what the Scripture says about us, if we are a true believer, we say amen to what the Scripture says about Christ as He is set forth in the Scriptures. He's God. He's God. He's God come down in the flesh. One person, but two natures, both God and man. Yes. And He's the one mediator between God and men. Don't try to go to God in any other way. You know, sometimes people make an issue. Well, they won't let us say in Christ's name. We're at this public event, and you can pray. And I've been invited to pray at Commissioner's Court, you know. But they want to tell you what you can say and how long you can say it. And whatever you do, don't say in the name of Christ. Why? Because most people believe that you can pray. You don't have to go to God through Christ. There's many ways. Oh, no, no. There's one way. There's one mediator between God and man, the man, Christ Jesus. A true believer recognizes this and confesses this and says, yes, amen, I know that. Not only that, but that He was made a curse. He was made a curse. He was hanged upon a tree and shed His blood and gave His life. He was made a curse by the law that He might redeem us from the curse of the law. The law curses everyone that is not perfect in its obedience in everything. And the Lord Jesus Christ was made a curse that He might redeem us from the curse of the law. He's the one great high priest who ever lives to make intercession for all who come unto God by Him. Amen. A true believer confesses these things. But notice the second thing. The Lord Jesus Christ preached repentance and faith, but also He preached the kingdom of heaven is at hand. And it's interesting, if you look at the word in Matthew and the same word in Mark, in Matthew's gospel, it is the kingdom of heaven is at hand, and in Mark's gospel, the kingdom of God is at hand. And you know, some people try to make those two things mean something different. They don't. They're used interchangeably. If people would just use their concordance in the Scripture, they would see they're used in the same way. What was it that was at hand? The kingdom of heaven, the kingdom of God is at hand. It was this new dispensation. Sometimes we call it the gospel dispensation, as opposed to that legal dispensation. It's a new dispensation in the sense the gospel's the same. There's only one everlasting covenant. The gospel's the same, but the gospel has been administered in two different ministrations. That is, a legal ministration in the Old Testament and a gracious ministration. Now, the kingdom of heaven is at hand. I want you to turn with me to Romans 14. I think Paul here shows us the difference. Romans chapter 14 and verse 17. Paul said, "For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink." Now that old dispensation administered through the law that was given to Israel at Mount Sinai, it had a lot to say about meat. I don't know so much about drink, but knowing the traditions of the Jews, they had probably added some traditions about what you could drink and what you couldn't drink. But the law clearly prescribed certain meats you could eat and certain meats you couldn't eat. That whole dispensation was a dispensation of ceremonies. Of ceremonies. The new dispensation is entered into by repentance and faith in Christ. And all three of these things, notice righteousness and peace and joy in the Holy Ghost. For the kingdom of God is not meat and drink, but here it is. Righteousness. Now, how is a person made righteous? Through Christ. His righteousness, his perfect obedience, is charged or imputed unto everyone that believeth. And therefore we are justified. The kingdom of God is righteousness. And it's peace. We have peace with God. He made peace for us through the blood of his cross. Therefore, being justified by faith, we have peace with God through our Lord Jesus Christ. And joy in the Holy Ghost. That's just this dispensation. It's so different from that old dispensation where you had to watch everything. Your clothes had to meet a certain criteria, the robes that you wore. 3 times a year, you had to go up to Jerusalem. I mean, just on and on. You couldn't plant your field with 2 different types of seed. You couldn't plow with a horse and an ass, I believe it was, pulling the plow. I mean, there's all kinds of regulations in that old dispensation. It was full of ceremony and rules, and couldn't be much joy because you could be going outside and just walk over a ground and step on a bone, and that bone was a bone of some man, and now you're defiled. Now you're outside the camp until you go through the ceremony to get back in. All these rules. You say, why would God do that? Well, I can't answer that. But I'll tell you one thing it did. It kept the nation of Israel separate until the promised seed came. The promised seed. Abraham's seed. In thy seed shall all the nations of the earth be blessed. That's Christ. Here's the third point. What kind of a preacher was the Lord Jesus? What does it mean to preach? It means to proclaim. What did the Lord Jesus Christ proclaim? Repentance and faith. And let me say this. Repentance and faith are graces, and they're conjoined graces. In other words, they're 2 sides of one coin. Regeneration being the coin, and the fruit of regeneration, faith and repentance, or repentance and faith. Repentance toward God and faith toward our Lord Jesus Christ. I think I'll say this, that in some people, some believers, repentance may be more displayed than in others. And in others, faith may be more displayed than repentance. But every child of God has both, has been given both repentance and faith. What kind of a preacher was the Lord Jesus? I have seven things here I'll go through quickly. Number one, he was a preacher who was anointed with the Holy Spirit. Each one of the Gospels record at his baptism that the Spirit of God descended upon him in the form of a dove. And John, it is, tells us that he was given the Spirit without measure, and the Spirit remained upon him. One of those three texts in the Old Testament that I mentioned was a prophecy of Christ. It said, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, because he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." And I believe it was his first message, his first public message that is recorded. He found the place in the Scripture there in Isaiah where it is written, "The Spirit of the Lord is upon me, for he hath anointed me to preach good tidings unto the meek." This day, he said, this day is this Scripture fulfilled in your presence. In the early church, as recorded in Acts, they had some problems because of charity, benevolent work, taking care of widows who needed help. And the apostles, they came to the apostles first and said, "Help us out here." They said, "Well, seek out seven men to do that work." But here's the point, that we might give ourselves to prayer and to the Word of God. Christ was anointed of the Holy Spirit, and every man who would preach the gospel, he spent nights in prayer. Every man who would preach the gospel must be a man who prays. Who prays and who asks for God's blessings, for God's help. If a man had the greatest of talents to speak and to teach and entertain people, and people were just fascinated by his diction and all of that, only God can take the message, the gospel, and quicken a person. He's the only one who can do that. I can stand up here week after week and preach, but I have to be dependent not by power nor by might, but by my Spirit, saith the Lord. And the Lord Jesus Christ, he was a preacher who was filled with the Spirit. Filled with the Spirit, a Spirit-anointed preacher. Number two, he was a preacher who preached with authority. This is what we read in Matthew chapter 7. The people heard him and they said, My, how different is he from the scribes and the Pharisees we've been listening to all these years? What's different about him? He preaches with authority. How many times in the Gospel of John do we read over and over, "Truly, truly, verily, verily, I say unto thee, except a man be born again, he cannot see the kingdom of God. Verily, verily, I say unto you, he that heareth my word and believeth on him that sent me hath everlasting life and shall not come into condemnation, but is passed from death unto life." He didn't say on the one hand. Reminds me of a story I heard many years ago. church needed a pastor, and they were praying for a pastor, and one man prayed, and he said, "Lord, send us a one-armed preacher." After the prayer was ended, one of the deacons said, "What do you mean, a one-armed preacher?" He said, "I am so tired of hearing a preacher say, on the one hand it may be this, or on the other hand it may be this." He said, "Send us a one-armed preacher." God, the Lord Jesus Christ, He spoke with authority. He knew who He was. He knew why He was here. He knew what He was going to accomplish. He spoke with authority. The third thing, He was a preacher who believed the Word of God. If you could run all the so-called preachers out of the pulpits in America today who don't believe the Word of God, what a blessing that would be. What a blessing that would be. The Lord Jesus Christ was a preacher who believed the Word of God. He spoke about in the beginning, God made them male and female. In other words, the creation, just as it's recorded to us in the Word of God. He spoke about Abraham seeing his day and rejoicing. He was a real person. He spoke about the flood, about Noah going into the ark. And all those on the outside of the ark were washed away, were destroyed. He spoke about David calling his Lord, or his son, his Lord, and asked the religious leaders, how was that possible? How could David call his son his Lord? Because who his son came to be, the God-man. He spoke about Solomon and all of his glory. He spoke about Jonah. People say, "Well, do you believe Jonah was actually in the fish's belly for 3 days?" The Lord Jesus Christ did. He was a preacher who believed the Word of God. Fourth, he was a preacher who preached the doctrine of God. Now that could take us a while. But this is what he said in John 7. "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." Think of all that might be included in that, the doctrine of God. There's one God. He exists in a trinity of person. I mean, he's omnipotent, omniscient, immutable, everywhere at the same time. I'm not present. The doctrine of God. He preached the doctrine of God. He said, "My doctrine is not mine, but his that sent me." And listen, number five, he was a preacher who rejoiced in the sovereign grace of God. Look with me in Matthew chapter 11. He rejoiced in the sovereign grace of God. Here in Matthew chapter 11, beginning in verse 25, we read, "At that time, Jesus answered and said, 'I thank thee, O Father, Lord of heaven and earth, because thou hast hid these things from the wise and prudent, and hast revealed them unto babes. Even so, Father, for so it seemed good in thy sight.'" Hid these things from the wise and the prudent, those who knew everything. You couldn't teach them anything because they knew everything. Talking about the religious leaders. They knew everything already. He rejoiced that God had hidden these things from some, but had revealed them unto babes. Don't you want to be a babe? Don't you? Teach me. Teach me. He revealed these things unto babes. "Lord, I don't know. I don't know. Teach me. Teach me. And number six, he was a preacher that the common people heard gladly. We read that in Mark 12. And the common people heard him gladly. I tell you who didn't hear him gladly. The religious people. The religious people who knew everything, who were so proud of themselves, who were so righteous in their own eyes. They didn't hear him gladly. But I tell you, the common people, people who knew something of what they were, he receiveth sinners and eateth with them. The religious people, they were offended. He receiveth sinners. Don't you know he came here to save sinners? Don't you realize that? And number seven, lastly, he was a preacher who showed compassion. He showed compassion. How many times in the Gospels do we read a multitude of people were following him, and the disciples would come to the Lord and they would say, Lord, send them away. Send them away. Let them go somewhere and buy some food. And the scripture, the Lord said, but I have compassion on them. You feed them. You feed them. How would you like to hear that? Here you are, 12 men, and one of them was a devil. And you've got 4,000 men here, plus women and children. You've got two fish, small fish, and four loaves of bread. And the Lord says, you feed them. You feed them. Why would he do that? Because he had compassion on people. He took the bread, took the fish, and he began to break it, give it out to the disciples, and they gave it out to the people. And at the end, when everyone was full, everyone was satisfied, gathering up baskets full of bread, he was a man of compassion. Let me tell you this story, and I'll quit. A church was looking for a pastor, and they had two candidates. They had two men they were listening to consider to be the pastor. Both men preached, and they both preached from the same text, and they both preached on hell. And they called one man out of the two. And they were asked later, why did you call that man? They both preached the same text, the same message. They both preached on hell. They said, yes, but that man preached like he wanted all of us to go to hell. This man preached like he didn't want anyone to go to hell. I heard that story and I thought, isn't that compassion? Yes, the Bible does teach that there is everlasting destruction, that there is a place called hell, a place of punishment. And everyone who does not know Christ is going to end up there and spend eternity there. But oh, to preach with compassion and to let sinners know there's a Savior. Why would you die? Why would you go on in your sin? Why? The Lord Jesus Christ was the preacher. You know, people talked about Charles Spurgeon. They called him the Prince of Preachers. No, no. No doubt he was a great preacher. No doubt. But he wasn't the Prince of Preachers. Jesus Christ, the preacher, the Prince of all preachers. We're going to sing a hymn.